All right. Good afternoon. Let me start by updating you on the injuries. Ryan Matthews with the right knee MCL sprain, day to day. We'll get some more evaluation on him this week as we go. Jordan Matthews has the right ankle sprain. X-rays where everything was negative. He's going to be fine. We'll be good for the game. We'll probably hold him from practice tomorrow. Big V's doing good. Again, it's still, you know, a little ways away week to week with him, but he's definitely improving and feeling better. And then update you on Brandon Brooks. Everything checked out fine with him. So we'll get him back, get him working this week, and get him back in there. He'll be fine. Marcus Smith came out of the game with a left shoulder contusion. He'll be fine. It's just sore, so he's going to be okay. And everybody else is healthy and good to go.
Do you have a sense with Big V what we're looking at time wise yet, or is he still kind of?
I still don't. It's still kind of a week to week injury. You know, is pretty substantial. So these things with these big guys like this will be, you know, a ways away. So again, we'll evaluate later in the week, but don't expect it.
Problem with Fletcher Cox this year.
What is the problem with Fletcher Cox?
He just doesn't seem to be he's not playing as well as he was last year. Am I wrong in that assessment?
Well, I think he draws a lot of attention. He draws a lot of double teams. He gets a lot of hands on him, you know. He still is very at times is very disruptive and you know, can be a force inside. You know, it's just you know, he's mentally he's good, physically he's good. It's just a matter of just the sheer determination and wanting to get the job done. He's still a very capable defensive lineman for us, and we do expect, and I do expect, you know, a lot from guys like Fletcher, and he does as well, you know, so.
Doug, you had a good bounce in the first drive, and then from there on out, 44-14 in favor of the pass. Do you feel like you got away from the bounce too early?
Well, we started getting into our what we call our mock or our tempo world a little bit, and we mixed it in there. Carson actually managed a couple of situations for us where he got us actually from a couple of passes into a couple of runs and vice versa based on what they were doing defensively. You know, you can always look back on a Monday or Tuesday and say we should have done this and should have done that. But I felt that the way things were going in the game, and we didn't have a ton of touches offensively either. So giving us the best opportunity to keep ourselves in that football game last night.
Did you think that countering their ball possession would have been the way to go in terms of, you know, trying to establish the run yourself? I mean, they were able to control the clock to keep the ball in Aaron Rodgers' hands. Do you think you should have ran the ball more?
I think that's a possibility, yes. I think that's definitely a possibility in any football game. If you can do that against good offenses, I think that you can, you can control the clock. The thing that gets you is you got to make sure your execution is pretty much flawless at the time so you can stay on the field. You know, you can't have penalties, obviously, offensively. You can't have negative rushing plays. You can't have you know, things like that can obviously hurt you, but he was having, you know, he was having himself a pretty good day. We were doing a good job in the run game, and so looking back on it today with different eyes, yeah, you could probably say that.
There's been a lot of games where you stood up here and said, I wish I ran the ball more. Is there something that you guys can do on game day to kind of, you know, as far as quality control, to kind of make sure you stick with it?
I'm constantly monitoring, you know, the run-pass ratio constantly during the football game. And series starts, first down within a series. I'm always monitoring that, asking the question upstairs because they're keeping track of that for me. And Frank and I are always dialoguing on the sidelines. So there's ways that we monitor that and keep ourselves as manageable as we can in those situations.
Last night, when you were asked about Agholor, you said you wanted to see how Jordan's ankle was this morning before committing to him on Sunday. Does that mean now that Jordan will be okay and Nelson sit down again this week?
Well, I'm not going to, again, I'm not going to come out and say that right now today. I'm going to get through this week of practice again. Jordan will be okay with the ankle. And just got to see again where Nelson's at and where his mind and his head is at. And he had a good week last week. So we'll monitor that again later in the week.
Did you get a chance to talk to him after the game last night?
I didn't see him after the game. Mm-mm, no. I just think the biggest thing is just seeing the way the offense kind of works, seeing the way the game kind of unfolds and how guys react in certain situations. And I wanted him to put himself in the game situations and see how he would react, see how he would play, see how he would run that route. And it's a lot easier to do that, obviously, from a removed position where you can kind of see it from a big picture and a little bit calmer eyes where the pressure and the stress is not on you to perform. So that's what I'm hoping he takes away from this and learns from this down the road.
Doug, you mentioned last night the way he had the rough pressure. He said it was not. He didn't feel it was competitive. Number one, as a coach, is there anything you can do? It's the third time this season he's done something like that. Can you do anything to stop it? And after three penalties, don't you think a guy would know what a penalty affects or penalty?
Yeah, you know, and what I saw, and obviously what the officials saw, I think is anytime you strike the quarterback in the head neck area. Which is what they saw. Then obviously the flag's going to be thrown. I'm not going to slow his aggression down based on penalty. We need to sit down. I need to sit down with him and just say, "Hey, Fletcher, we need to let's keep our hands down. Let's not hit the quarterback. Let's lower our target. Let's do a lot of other things. Next thing you know, we're going low and it's a flag for hitting the quarterback at the knees or something." This game happens so fast that it's hard sometimes when you're in that heat of the moment. Was that a pass interference on Bryce Treggs? Well, it's bang bang. I mean, who knows? I mean, it's those types of things that happen so fast in this game that all I can do is grab him and say, "Hey, look, we got to be careful. You know, we got to make sure that we're lowering our target. Fletcher's a big man. He's a tall man. He's got an arm reach. He's aggressive, and we got to be careful and we got to be smart about how we hit quarterbacks. But at the same time, I want our defensive line to hit quarterbacks."
Given the disappointment of the last 2 weeks and that combined with you being a first-year coach laying a foundation, how important is it for you? Well, what do you do to make sure the wheels don't come off in these last 5 weeks, and how important is to you that that doesn't happen?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, we're individually, we're very prideful in our jobs and what we do, it's my job to make sure that doesn't happen, and so we continue to communicate and talk with the players, and you find out a lot about your football team in the next month, you continue to go to work every day. You don't back off. You don't lighten up the load. You just keep working. You stay the course. We have a process. We started the process back in OTAs. We're going to stick with that process and that routine. It eventually becomes second nature to you. You look back on seasons like this and some of the close games that we were in, you learn from them, and it puts you in better positions in the future. So we just continue the journey, continue the process.
As a follow-up to that, Doug, the players said after the game that your message was these next 5 games will show who wants to be here next year. What exactly did you mean in terms of that message?
You just find out who's going to put forth the effort, who's going to sort of man up, as they say, and take pride in their jobs and their profession, and that's coaches and players, and that's not a listen. That's not a threat or anything like that. That's just because that's what happens. Teams in our situation right now, even though you know you're still on the maybe on the edge of getting to where you want to be at the end of the season, you can kind of go the other way. And it's not to put any added pressure on anybody, but at the same time, I don't want people to just start tanking it, you know, in the last half of the last month of the season, and then you jeopardize injury, from another teammate. So you know, we all have pride in this, we still want to compete and go out and win football games, and that was the message and the challenge to the guys.
Right now?
Well, I think you're constantly evaluating. I don't think it's just for next year. I think you're doing that, even currently. So we're always, evaluating staff and players and just we're trying to, make sure that we're heading. And like I said last night, I do think we're heading in the right direction. I feel that. You know, the wins and losses, yeah, you got to take a look at that and you know, that's a big part of the direction that you're heading. But what I see on a daily basis in practice, too, with some of the youth that we have, with Carson, with a Wendell Smallwood, with the, Jalen Mills. I mean, we got pieces. And we keep adding, too. And down the road, as I mentioned, these games go in our favor. And that's what you want.
You guys had 20 sacks the first six games and 6 sacks the last 5 games. Brandon has not gotten the same. Vinny has not been effective. We talked about Fletcher. Connor hasn't had the season he's had in the past at a new position. What's going on with the pass rush? And is it possible to win like that without getting pressure?
Well, you're seeing what we're seeing in games is obviously, teams know we have a good defensive line. We have a good pass rush. They're keeping tight ends and backs in. Some teams are using 2 tight ends in protection, 7-man protection, 6-man protection. They're chipping our defensive ends, which secure your A and B gaps. And then your pass rush lanes become a little tighter. It's just something that we keep working games, you keep working pick stunts, you keep working all the things that you do to try to free up these guys, whether it be linebackers and tackles and ends and tackles. And just keep working at it. We do the same thing a lot with backs and tight ends, trying to add an extra element of protection, knowing that a team has a good defensive line, and this is what we're seeing. This is why good defensive lines in the NFL get this type of attention. I can remember the days when we were constantly going against the Giants with Strahan and those guys. We kept constantly keeping tight ends and backs and more protection elements in the game plan to nullify the pass rush. So we got to keep working. It's tough. They know it, and we just keep working and on a daily basis.
Let's follow up on that. But you guys spent a fortune on the D line on contracts. It's supposed to be the strength of the team and one of the top D lines in the league. Shouldn't they win some of those battles? I mean, shouldn't they be getting to the quarterback more than they are, even if there's a tight end helping out?
To answer your question, I would say, yeah. Should your quarterback hit an open receiver? Yeah. Should a receiver catch the football? Yeah. I mean, those are that we get paid to do that, and it's if you've never played that position or played this level of football, I think it's easy to speculate and see, what's going on. But at the same time, these guys are working extremely hard, to get to the quarterback. It's not that they don't want to. The effort is there. The determination is there. Again, when you're a good player, you're going to get a lot of double teams. You're going to get a lot of chips. It just slows down. I preach it to our offensive guys all the time. Slow down the pass rush. How do you do that? You do it with chips. You do it with double teams. You do it with, extra tight ends in the game and sliding your protection. And it's difficult. It is tough. Ball is out.
Double team every
The thing is, how fast did Aaron Rodgers get the ball out of his hand? How are you going to get to the quarterback when he gets it out of his hand so fast? It's tough. It's extremely hard. And
hand up in front of
that's the thing is the ball's out so fast, and it's left and it's right, and everything else is in front of you. And that's the hardest thing.
The Minnesota game's the only game you have more than two sacks since, like, week three. So, I mean, it's not just – I'm not just talking about yesterday. It's really been an ongoing thing where it just hasn't been there. So that's what I'm asking. Okay.
Right. Doug, what happened on Carson's interception?
A little bit of pressure in his face, kind of threw off his back foot. Ball was high, sailed over Ertz's head. Just something that obviously happens, occasionally in a game, but a play that he can definitely make and learn from.
The play before that, he took a big hit.
Carson?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did take a big hit. Peppers hit him pretty hard.
Did you see the hit before you called the play? And should –
I saw the hit, yeah.
Didn't
yeah.
Think of on a run play there just to no. give him a – no.
No. I'm not just because of a hit. It's, yeah.
Kind of show you something, though. I mean, despite, the banged-up offensive line, banged-up situation with wide receivers, just the way he played overall.
I thought he played, outside of a couple plays, I thought he played well, and being able to manage the number of formation adjustments and things that we did with a young group, getting those guys lined up, the communication, getting us in and out of, runs and passes and protections. And one of his better games that he's had here recently from that standpoint.
Doug Turner, Jim, 23 snaps yesterday. You talked about evaluations. Was he having a hard time getting open or what? He wasn't targeted at all. Why was it?
Again, it's a lot of it was, design of the play. Ball was going in other areas. It's you can evaluate off of 23 plays, but you'd like to see more, obviously. So these next few weeks could be even more important for him. We had a few plays in the game plan for him, him specifically, and the way it was going, and then when Jordan got nicked up, I went more to the two tight end sets a little bit with Zach and Trey. So that sort of sort of kept him a little bit on the sideline at those times.
You're playing a Packers defense that other teams have just dominated lately. 47 points, 42 points. You got 3 points in the second half. What in the world was that about?
Fact that we had maybe six possessions the entire game. It was a keep away game. We didn't have enough touches, and then the touches we had, we got to make sure that we're doing the best we can to score points and score touchdowns, especially against, again, a good quarterback and Aaron Rodgers and that offense. That's bottom line, that's what you got to do.
James Schwartz has autonomy over the defense pretty much, right? He doesn't answer questions after the game. You have to sit up there and stand there and answer questions for scheme decisions. The players are responsible for end up having to answer questions. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, because ultimately, it's I have to answer for it all, and I'll stand up here and take the heat. I'll take the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent. It doesn't make me any. One way or the other, it's no difference to me. I got to do that as part of, it's what I signed up for. So, I'm okay with that.
Doug, give me the comment after the game that you think the team's pointed in the right direction because of the effort that you're seeing out of them. I'm curious why that's the standard. I mean, this is a team that's been in playoff contention, basically throughout the season. It's kind of a given that they would be giving effort. It's not like you guys have been out of playoff contention for weeks, so why is that the standard, and why is that something that gives you confidence that this is a team moving in the right direction?
Well, I just think that we've given ourselves opportunities. If we just make a few more plays, just a couple, one or two more plays in some of these ball games, the outcomes are different, and we're not talking about this right now. Yes, I'll admit we're playing with some young guys on offense, and these young guys are getting valuable reps. We had Big V in there for a while. Now Isaac's in there, you know, Wendell and Carson and these guys and the youth at receiver that are getting valuable reps. And yes, I agree that it may not show on the scoreboard and it may not show with the wins and losses. I totally get that. And you know, we're in this business to win games. That's why we're here. But at the same time, I look at the process, and I look at the plan, and I use those words because those are words that we use around here because there is a plan and there is a process. And you know, you build your team through the draft. You pick up a couple good free agents in the offseason. You continue to work. You watch these young kids develop and turn into ball players, and you see the potential. And that's why when I say that, that's what I see with these guys. And, you know, I look at how Seattle's built their team. I look how the Raiders have built their team. I look at the plan that's been in place for a lot of teams around the National Football League that are having success now in their third, fourth, seventh years. And that's the direction that we're heading in. And so that's why when I say those comments like that, that's what I see. I see us 3-4 years down the road. I see us 7-8 years down the road having consistency that way and winning more of these games than not.
All right, thanks, thank you.
All right, guys.